Hi, and welcome to another episode of Django Chat. I'm Carlton Gibson. I'm here again with Will Vincent.
Hi, Carlton.
Hi, Will. We're going to talk about authentication this week. Will, what's authentication?
I'm glad you asked. So authentication is how you sign up and log in to a website. It's commonly confused with authorization, which is permissions. So, for example, if some people have access to some parts of the site and others don't to others, that's authorization. Authentication is just how do you log in and say, yes, I'm a user of this site. And Django has a lot of options here, a lot of built-in, a lot of third parties. So I think there's a lot to unpack about how to do it. But almost every website, you're going to need authentication. So maybe we'll start. So I have an entire 40-minute DjangoCon talk on authentication within Django REST framework because it can be confusing. So we'll link to that. And I'll try not to repeat all those points. But a distinction is between Django and Django REST framework. So Django itself, web framework uses sessions and cookies. So that is where when you first sign into a site, you send your username and password, which creates a session object on the server, and the server sends back a session ID. So that ID can be linked, and so that is what's passed back and forth. That's built into Django itself. That's the predominant pattern with websites. But as we'll get into with APIs, things are a little bit different. But that's what the first thing you should know is sessions and cookies. That's what Django uses. That's what basically every web service uses. It works. I don't think there's much to add on that.
No, I mean, so Django has contrib.auth, which is where you get your user model, and you can create a custom user model if you want to. Now we've talked about this on one of the first episodes. I use the bog standard model because when I create a new project, I just want to get going. My idea is my thought.
User profiles.
Use the user model that comes with Django.
Oh, okay.
And then if I need to store additional fields on that, I'll create a profile model with a one-to-one field. And Django does have this ability to create a custom user model. And they kind of recommend that you do, because if you want to customize it later on, it's quite a difficult thing to do. Now, over the years, I've come around to the conclusion, no, just use it and stick with it. But that's my take.
Yeah. Again, this is like the first point of confusion for people is there's three dominant patterns for doing this. There's, as you mentioned, using the built-in user model and creating a profile model for additional fields. There's creating a custom user model, which came in, I think, Django 1.6, something like that. There you basically, there's two ways to do it. You can create a copy, basically extend the built-in user model with abstract user, or you can abstract base user where you go a level deeper. And so this is what you do if you want to, so Django uses username, email, password, because that was the dominant pattern, whatever, 12 back in the day. And there are ways to hack around that, but most sites these days just want email and password. And so this is some of the reasons why you might fiddle around with this. But again, I think I've come around to your point of view. I mean, I use custom user models, but I think it's easy to confuse. You don't want a complicated sign-in. You may want to add all sorts of information later when someone has a profile, such as, I don't know, age and this and that, but you don't need that when they sign in. So the user model is only for signing up and logging in. That's it. Then you can link everything else to it.
Yeah, and the big danger for me with custom user models, and I've seen this, is that teams create a custom user model and then they start adding field after field after field, and it becomes this, and what you really want is a separate profile model for all of that data, which links to your user model, because your user model is for authentication and you want to keep it nice and small with just a few fields. And for me, another benefit of using Django contrib.auth's user model is that it stops you doing that. Is it stops you falling into this trap where you added, like this massive life biography field to your login model.
So do you do something to remove the username part of that, or do you just username?
Well, I actually quite like usernames. I think I'm old, I'm like, get off my lawn.
But, so old, Carl.
Yeah,
so old.
No, well, I'm nearly in management age. as my talk in Heidelberg in DjangoCon Europe a couple of years ago was all about. But
And by the way, that's a fantastic talk. That's I first learned about you and reached out to you about that talk. I sent you an email saying I really resonated with that talk about
that was called Growing Old Gracefully, and it's about being a programmer as you get older. And so anyway, I recommend that because it's it's a challenge in our industry. But so I've used and still use Django AllAuth, which is one of the third-party packages around this. And what that enables you to do very well is it sets up a custom authentication backend, which enables you to use emails as your login. So one of the reasons, perhaps I think probably historically the main reason that custom user models were brought in was because people wanted email logins, but on DjangoContrib.auth user, the email field is not unique. So you have to enforce that somehow in order to have a unique field for login. And AllAuth puts all the machinery around that for the custom backend, and when you create a new user, making sure emails are unique and that they're tied to a user in a unique way, such that you can use logins with email. And so if I want email login, I use AllAuth for that, but I still like usernames, because quite often you want a display name. You want, you know, a forum or a an ability to see what user is without using their real name and without using their user ID, which is potentially sensitive. And so I still like usernames.
Yeah. I think the other major package is Django registration, which has also been around for quite a while and is still being worked on.
And what that does, gives you sign up forms, and it handles this confirmation flow. So normally you want a user signs up, you get an email and you have to click the link to verify you're real, right? So Django registration gives you all of that, and it's good. It's by James Bennett, who's big long-time contributor to Django.
Yeah.
And member of the DSF board, actually.
If you've used other frameworks sometimes just, they give you the sign-up page. So Django does not, which is partly why these things come about. Django does give you the login and logout forms, but you have to do the sign-up page yourself. So that involves, you know, views, URLs, templates, or using one of these third-party packages. That's not always the case with every framework. I mean, I appreciate that Django provides that flexibility, but I think it is a little more effort than some other web frameworks on this part.
Yeah, and when I was first learning Django, I was like, why aren't there templates for this?
That was exactly my thought.
But if you type Django registration templates into Google, it's amazing. You'll find very quickly that these do exist. But yeah, I mean,
it's the tension between flexibility and ease of use. Django is eminently customizable, but means a little bit more effort, which you appreciate as you advance in your career, but getting started, it's like, oh, why doesn't it do it the way, Rails does it or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still, part of me, if I start a new project and I come up against this problem, I've got to dig out these templates from why doesn't this exist?
If you want to save time on this, there are some Django starter projects out there. Django Cookie Cutter is the largest one. I have one as well, Django X, which is a little bit simpler, which just gives you sign up forms, email option, because it's sort of the same. I do the same steps in every project, and it does feel a little bit like doing the same thing over and over again, but people's use cases are different, and Django allows for that. So that's why these packages exist.
Yeah, but if you are just looking for a sign up templates, there are, as you say, these examples which you can either just use as your starting of your project, or if you've already started your project, you can just copy the templates across, and they make a great template, a great starting point, a great foundation. You can then customize your
own. The other part of this is, because an email will be sent, you need to configure email in Django. So that's you can usually, when you're testing it locally, you can have it output the emails to your console, your command line, but then you need to plug in an email service. And that's another hurdle for people learning how to do this, that once you've done it, you realize, oh, it's just a couple lines in your settings.py file, but the first time it's confusing. I cover all this in my book, Django for Beginners, but I'm sure.
There you are. But yeah, I mean, that's another thing. It's like, well, how do I send an email? Well, I have to configure SMTP. Well, can I just use Gmail?
You used to be able to, but
what are the configuration details?
Yeah,
you can't do that anymore. No,
they used to be able to just use Gmail. I may be a year dated with this, but they changed it around. So you have to jump through all these hoops, and you basically can't do that anymore. You could three, 4 years ago. That's the way I did it.
Oh, okay.
But Google changed something around that. So you really need to just use a service, SendGrid, Mailgun. There's a whole host of them.
Amazon's SES, simple email service, very good.
It doesn't really matter which one. I mean,
all of them.
They all do the same thing.
If you type in whichever backend you want to use, Django, SendGrid, there'll be a third-party package which wraps it up in an email backend, and you just put two lines in your settings file and configure this, and it will just work.
Yeah. I mean, email, we could do a whole episode on email, but it can get a little complicated. But with SMTP, you basically get an API key and you just a couple lines in your settings.py file. So you sign up for the account, you plug it into your settings.py file, you tell Django, okay, output emails to SMTP, not the console, and away you go. Anyways, so Django gives you lots of flexibility here, but there are these hurdles if you're learning it for the first time, but then later you appreciate them. So let's talk about APIs. So this is where it gets real, because now I didn't know about sessions and cookies in Django for, I would say, at least a year into it, because I didn't need to. I just, you know.
But it just works.
It just works, right?
Oh, yeah, it just works. So you don't need to think about sessions.
And Django is my first web framework, so I didn't know anything about anything. So, you know, that's why I up front mentioned sessions cookies. And this matters with APIs because...
Yeah, because as well, people think, oh, you know, well, couldn't this be better? In my day, you had to do all this by hand. You had to, you know, send the set cooker header. And it was, you get this wrong every time. And this is where Django doing it for you and providing the auth framework and the sessions framework, and it matters so much because won't make these mistakes and you don't have to build that stuff.
Right. So, and you really don't want to mess this up. You really don't want to mess up this part of your
site. Yeah, no. I mean, you know, and you'd get session leakage problems and it was just a nightmare. And well, you know, Django, anyway, we've talked about this loads of times, but that Django provides it for you is just such a resource, such a, you know, blessing.
Yeah.
For want of a better word.
So, Carlton, co-maintainer of Django REST framework, why don't you explain why are there four built-in methods and not just one, not to mention all the third-party methods? What's going on there?
Well, authentication is complex, right? So back in the day, we used to use HTTP basic auth, where your browser still does this. And I still use it quite, you know, not all the time, but from time to time, I'll still be like, I just need some auth, HTTP basic auth, because then you get that little browser delivered pop down and you can just type a password. And it's great for bootstrapping something. But sometimes you want to send the password and the username with the request and have it authenticated. So that would be HTTP basic auth. Sometimes if you're in a browser, you can just use the same session auth that Django uses for a normal website. So for instance, if you're using an API to augment your website, so say, I don't know, you've got a form which you want to augment with Ajax and you use an API endpoint to submit the data so that you don't avoid a full page refresh or whatever, then you would just use session auth. And if you can use session auth, do, because it's the existing cookie, the existing login.
Agreed,
It's fantastic. And then you want to go on to, well, what about multiple devices? And so from your mobile phone, from a native app on a mobile phone, you have to use some kind of token, which is like a key. So authentication is something you've got. It's like, I've got a password. Or I've got a token with a long number which uniquely identifies me. No one else has got this. So an app can authenticate with the API using a token of some kind. And Django REST Framework ships with a very simple token authentication implementation. It's not designed for building Twitter or building Facebook or building Instagram. It's designed for small sites who just need a very simple implementation. Then there are more complicated ones. So... something like JavaScript web tokens are very popular now, right? Tell us about those. Well, these are.
Well, thanks for punting that one to me.
They enable you to do things like refreshes, and they enable you to use multiple devices. But you talk because.
Before we get to that,
you wrote the book.
I wanted to ask you, what's up with remote user auth? Because that's the fourth built-in method, and I have only an abstract understanding of this. When I gave my talk, a bunch of people asked me questions, and I found that people are using this in the real world, but when I tried to just configure it myself, I couldn't do it.
The times I've used this is in enterprise environment, and Django itself has remote authentication, and so does Django REST Framework. And the idea is that, say you're, I don't know, AM big company, and you've got a single sign-on server or something where people can authenticate, you can go and get an authentication from that third-party authentication server. And then you can use that as the authentication source and say, yes, this is authenticated via that third-party service. These things are very useful in those kind of environments where you've got an existing login. So maybe you've got a Django app already that has users in it and has people authenticating, and you want to create a separate Django app which uses the user database from the other service. Well, then that would be remote. That would be a use case for remote user authentication.
Okay. You know, I remember there was people from University of Texas Austin, which has massive site and uses Django, and they're one of the folks who use it. They're really big in tech. Yeah. Okay. Okay, good. So four built-in methods, and just to reiterate, so basic auth is the first one. That's just email and password sent in clear text.
Username and password. So it's username. Credentials. Right. Okay. And they are sending clear text, but this is why we're all using HTTPS.
Right. But that's why it's...
Because they're put sent as part of the request. And so if it's not encrypted, they would be visible over the wire.
Exactly. So basic's fine for get up and going. Session will be the next level. Use it if you can. So Django uses token auth again. I don't know if you mentioned the issue with why can't you use sessions with multiple devices is because each session is unique. So that's why you have a token for, you know, a mobile setting. Remote user auth is enterprise-y. Yeah. And then you get to JavaScript web tokens, which you'll see people saying, oh, you have to use JavaScript web tokens. So this is a more complex token, basically. There's long tutorials on it. It's Base64 encoded. You can wrap up all sorts of information within it. The dominant third-party tool for doing it with REST Framework is Django REST Framework Simple JWT. And in my talk, I talk through how to implement this, and there's a source code that goes along with it that has a working example. So yeah, the main reasons is the token auth within Django REST Framework is pretty basic. So you may want your tokens to expire over some period of time. In fact, you probably do, because otherwise, if it never expires, if someone grabs your token, they have full control. And JavaScript web tokens provide a lot of extra stuff, but I would say don't just jump into it unless you need it. Keep it as, you know, both of us agree, keep it as simple as you can. You can change this as needed, but don't just jump into some complex JWT. You know, there's all sorts of fun, cool ways you can customize stuff. But if you don't do it unless you need to.
Yeah. I mean, and if you're building a, if you're in a sort of team environment where you're building a public facing mobile web and mobile application with multiple clients or multiple platforms, and you're in a team and it's a proper business and it's, you know, as I say, public facing, then JWT is probably something you want to be investing the time in and looking at. But if you're building a smaller app, which is kind of just your business team, it's only got, you know, a small number of users, then, you know, tokens are fine. Like the token auth that Django REST Framework ships is fine for that. But, you know, it depends on your use case, right? Don't step up to this full featured, we could build it anything system for the tiniest internal app. You know, if you're building an internal business tool application, you don't need a super high powered authentication system because you're not dealing with that kind of level of clients.
Agreed. So yeah, a good default, use token auth, and if you need it, JWTs are there for you. But there's also...
And then there's this whole OAuth, isn't there? Right? So OAuth is like where you've got a server which provides an identity, which then you go and authenticate with, and there's a behind the scenes handshake to make sure that you've, or verification to make sure that you, the token that you got was correct, and then you get an access token which enables the server behind the scenes to access your identity. And this is how social auth works. So if you log in with Twitter or log in with Facebook or log in with Google, or log in with GitHub, everyone's seen, you know, the so-and-so application wants to access your username or your email address without ever seeing your password.
Yeah.
That's where you'd use OAuth.
And if you use Django All Auth, which we mentioned previously, it makes it very easy to implement social auth via OAuth for like 50 different platforms. So
So for each platform, there's a provider, an OAuth provider, which you just add as an extra installed app, and then it's got the flows in place for you to be able to authenticate with Twitter, say.
Yep. And I have it's covered in the books, but I also have a tutorial specifically on Django All Auth, which I think I've mentioned before. So we'll link to that. People can take a look at how that's done. But then there's another level, which are these services. So this is like Auth0 or Okta, which you just completely kind of outsource the authentication piece. And to be honest, these are ones where I've read the tutorials. We'll link to them. I've heard very prominent people advocate for these, but I don't quite understand why you would, other than smart people working on big projects are fairly strong advocates of these. I don't know. Have you been in a case where you know, using one of these services is a better approach than using the built-in tools?
what's the use case? The use case for me is if you want to avoid a certain amount of time building stuff around what's provided by Django itself. So if you don't need the login templates if you just use Auth0 or Zero. How do you say it?
It's probably Zero. I'm not sure.
It's Zero, isn't it? Because it's zero effort. But that's the idea. But then you kind of lose as well. In the end, you get JWT logins, and you can sort of, from a front end app, it's very easy to communicate with that, with the Auth0 server, and say, yeah, that you're logged in. But then you still need, if you're going to do something in the Django world, you still need to create a user model in your Django database that's logged in via this third party service. And it's that bit that it's always broken down for me. It's that the promise of less work sort of faded away into the air. It's like, hang on, this is more work.
Yeah, well, that was my experience as well. Is it was as much or more work, and then a loss of control. But there's a reason why these services are popular, and I think I just haven't had the use case myself where it makes sense.
Look, it's again, are you bootstrapping something as a side project, or is this your main business? If this is your main business, then you can't be outsourcing these fundamental parts of it. But if it's a side project that you're just trying to get knocked out on the weekend, then super, because you get authentication sorted out, you know.
I think we just lost them as potential sponsors, Carlton, but that's okay.
Oh, well, maybe.
Get someone from there to come on and defend this point of view.
They're useful.
Yeah. It all depends.
They're useful, but...
It all depends. And I mean, and that's what we try in this podcast to not make it a typical engineering, you know, it all depends. We're trying to be... to give you our opinions and argue for them and mention the other side.
Look, if somebody who uses Auth0 wants to come and tell me why they use it and why it's great, I'm happy to listen, I'm happy to learn. But for me, my experience of trying to implement with them and trying to work out how I could solve my own use case, it was just like, no, this is taking my user database and putting it on someone else's server.
Well, in defense of them, I saw they just in the last couple of weeks have a very nice tutorial on building a Django project and using Auth0, so we'll link to that.
Yeah, and in fairness, the last time I looked at it was 2 years ago, and you know they were, but it's probably quite changed since then.
Yeah. So what else? Anything else to say? I mean, I think authentication when I'm teaching beginners is one of the big parts of Django, just because it doesn't just give it to you out of the box. You're required to configure your signup registration forms, and then if you're building an API. You have to make a choice. You know, in practice, you use something like Django OAuth or Django Registration on traditional Django. If you're doing an API, you use either Token Auth or JWTs if you need them. So you quickly become used to that, but it is a hurdle when you're learning Django.
Yeah, and it's just part of the reality of building a web application that you need to handle authentication properly. So be grateful for what it does do for you. Be grateful that it doesn't put you in a position where you can blindly shoot yourself in the foot. You have to make certain choices, but allocate the time. Don't think, oh, you know, I'll get authentication. All my authentication problems will be sorted out in 10 minutes. No, it's an ongoing thing that you need to constantly be looking at and working on. Keep it as simple as you can, but when you need to step up a level, you have to allocate the time to step up a level because it's authentication. And, you know, every week we see stories of sites being broken into and user data being stolen because they're not secure. So you have to take it seriously.
And it's, I mean, even, you know, Facebook, well, it's doing lots of things, but, you know, even Facebook, which has a very strong engineering team, had millions and millions and millions of usernames and passwords being stored in clear text, which I don't even know how could you even do that? I mean, clearly you can, but, you know, Django sort of doesn't let you do that.
Well, it doesn't do database encryption by default, right? You have to opt into encrypted data, encrypted at store. So,
well,
you know, but passwords are stored encrypted. So, I mean,
no,
that's
what I'm saying.
Channel,
like the
right?
Passwords are not stored. Are even the passwords?
Oh, the passwords were in clean text. Oh my word!
Well,
that's
seen that in many big companies. I thought that was the case with Facebook, but someone can correct me. But in any case, this stuff is tricky, and even the biggest companies get it wrong. And well, was it, Docker Hub just this week, you know, someone hacked in. And so, yeah, so if you implement these things properly, if you encrypt the passwords, encrypt your database, then even if someone hacks in, they can't do as much damage. And Django just gives you out of the box the proper way to do it.
Yeah, and Django does a very good job at password hashing, and each major version will sort of bump up to the default algorithms and bump up the number of iterations of those algorithms for the password hashing. So that's kind of quite secure.
And then there's also, we were talking before we started recording, so the future of Django, another, their add-ons, you can do two-factor authentication, which I think there's some effort. So that's where you log in, then you have to confirm like through a text message. There's third-party packages that do this now with Django, but I think there's some work to potentially bring that into Django itself.
Yeah, there's a lot of the core contributors are thinking in this area now. And so, I don't have a timeline, but soon enough, Django will have, either one-time passwords or two-factor authentication built into the core framework. As I say, there are third-party apps that enable you to do this already, but it would be nice if that was part of core, because as we get further on, the username and password login isn't enough. More and more services are requiring two-factor, second factor auth.
Yeah, and as the web evolves, Django evolves with it. And I think actually at the sprints, I know some people were talking about working on just this very thing at some of the DjangoCon sprints. So that's an example of a number of people talk online, they do their own things, and they come together at a conference and they can bang out some real progress.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
What would I say? Summary, I'd just say keep it simple. So allocate the time, but keep it simple. Don't get it more complicated than you think. Don't build an over elaborate authentication system until you need it.
Yeah. All right. As always, we are at djangochat.com, chatdjango on Twitter. And if you have feedback or comments, suggestions for things we should cover, please let us know. We'll see you next time.
All right. See you next time. Bye-bye.